Christmas is a profound mystery. A mystery that we can look at from many different angles to learn things about God and about our relationship with Him. And the feast days that we celebrate within the season of Christmas help us to do just that. Think back to the celebration of Christmas itself. We heard about the shepherds to whom the angels came to announce the good news. The shepherds occupied the lowest rung of the social hierarchy of their time. People looked down on them. Mary and Joseph were poor people, peasants. Bethlehem was a forgotten corner of the Roman Empire. That celebration reminded us of God's preference for the poor and the humble. How God likes to work good things, big things, through those who trust in Him, and not necessarily with the things that the world would look at as being important. The day after Christmas this year, we celebrated the Feast of the Holy Family, and we reflected on the fact that in the mystery of Christmas, God comes to us as part of a human family. He's born into the world as part of a family. And how Jesus wants to sanctify our family life, make our families sources of grace for us. On New Year's, we celebrated the Feast of Mary, Mother of God. And we reflected on the fact that from all time, God prepared Mary to be the mother of His Son. That if He was going to come into our world, He wanted to come into our world just like each and every one of us, through a human mother. And now today, the celebration of the Epiphany. This celebration reminds us that God came into the world for all peoples. Epiphany means revelation or manifestation. Today is the manifestation of the birth of our Lord to the Gentiles, those who are not ethnically or religiously Jewish, as represented by the Magi, whom we're told came from the East. St. Paul summed it up beautifully in his letter to the Ephesians, the second reading today, when he told us that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Today's feast day reminds us that God became man. Jesus was born for all peoples. Jesus dies for all of humanity. And that journey that the Magi went on 2,000 years ago was just the beginning of our journey to Jesus. Each of us in our own lives journeying to our Lord. So let's take a look at these Magi. Who were they? Well, we don't really know a whole lot about them or who they were. Some traditions hold that they were kings. Others call them astrologers. Others call them wise men. We actually don't even know that there are three of them. Matthew never says that there were three. We simply say that there were three because they brought three gifts. But what we do know about the Magi is that they were looking for something beyond themselves. They were searching for meaning and purpose in something greater than their own lives. And to do that, they were looking at the sky. They were looking at the stars. And they see this great sign in the sky. They see the star, this astrological phenomenon. And they say, yes, there it is. There's the sign we've been looking for, something greater than ourselves. Let's go and follow it. They, just like all of us, have a natural human desire for something greater than ourselves, for meaning and purpose and fulfillment. And that's why they were searching the night sky. And that's why when they arrive in Jerusalem, they say, where is the newborn king of the Jews? They thought they were looking for a great king. They say, we saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage. Notice they're not looking for a religious event. It's Herod who recognizes the religious implications of their arrival. Assembling the chief priests and the scribes, Herod asks the question where the Christ is to be born. And then the Magi go on to Bethlehem. They leave Jerusalem and go to Bethlehem. And there they go into the house and we're told that they see the child Jesus with Mary, his mother. And what is it that they do? They fall down and worship. They fall down and pay homage to Jesus. Here are these wise men, these sages, these kings who fall down on their faces and worship Jesus. What had started for them as a quest for something greater than themselves, they didn't even know it was a religious quest. But that's how it ends. And we know that because they fall down and worship. And you would only do that to God. So the Magi represent all of us. Every single human being wants meaning and fulfillment and purpose in their lives. And we can find all of that and more in Jesus. That's what the Magi represent for all of us. And then we take a look at the flip side of this story. Take a look at Herod. History tells us that Herod was a brutal king, that he was power hungry, that he was in cahoots with Rome, that he lorded his power over his people, that he was a terrible king. And he treats the arrival of these Magi as a threat. They're looking for a king. Well, Herod is the only king. So this child must be a threat to him. So he resorts first to a lie. Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage. He had no intention of going to fall down and worship that child. He had every intention to do harm to that child. Herod goes from being a liar to a murderer, because we know after the Magi leave, he kills every child in Bethlehem, every male child younger than 2 years old. So as the Magi represent our human instinct for something greater than ourselves, Herod represents the traps of our fallen world: greed, power, envy, pleasure, and the desire to gather more and more and more of that until we're addicted to them. See, what Herod didn't understand is that if he had just submitted himself to this child, to Jesus, to his rule, he would have gained more than he could ever have wanted, more than he could have ever desired in this life. And he would have found fulfillment. And likewise, the world tells us that submitting ourselves, our lives fully to God will somehow hamper us. We won't find freedom if we do that. But the opposite is true. Because when we seek the things of the world, they enslave us. They make us addicts. But Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus comes, is born, and lives, and preaches, and teaches, and dies on the cross so that we can have life and have it abundantly. That's what those Magi understood. And their lives were changed. The gospel tells us that they went home by a different way. Yes, because they wanted to avoid Herod, but also, I believe, because their lives had been changed. And that when we encounter Jesus, when we fall down and worship him, our lives are forever changed. And we can never go back to the way things were before. My friends, like the Magi, all of us are looking for something greater than ourselves. And that something isn't a thing. It's a person. And that person is Jesus. And just like the Magi, we are all on a journey of faith, our journey home to heaven, to become saints. And we may not have fancy gifts to bring, expensive things to give to the Lord, but the only thing that he wants, the only thing that he desires, is for us to fall down and worship, fall down and pay him homage. I think of the last verse of one of my favorite Christmas carols, "In the Bleak Midwinter." We don't sing it very often, but it's very beautiful, and it sums up this feast wonderfully, I think. It goes like this. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. But what I can give him, give him my heart.